there's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.
And we are live. Welcome, folks, to another edition of the Survival Podcast. Today is Monday, October the 14th, 2024. This is episode 3569 of the Survival Podcast. This will be our first regularly scheduled programming week in a while. When I travel, it really is disruptive to the schedule. But today we are back at it, and we will be for at least a few weeks now until we get up to the fall workshop week at our regularly scheduled programming, in which case it will all go to hell again, but at least it'll only be 1 week, not a week and a half this time as we deal with that. Somebody did ask me today, when is the fall workshop? I want to come on social media today. And I'm like, well, it's in November and it sold out in 4 minutes, 3 weeks ago. So sorry. But yeah, if you are coming, it's going to be a great one. Maybe one of the best ones we've ever done. I definitely have a new lineup of speakers and all this time. But that's not what we're talking about today. As you saw, today's episode was titled, The Truth is Worse Than You Think. And we're going to kind of hit two areas today in that vein. One is all the shit that's gone on recently in North Carolina. I'm going to go kind of fast through that. There's a lot of information about it out there. Some of the stuff I'll tell you, you may not have heard from anybody other than I have mentioned it as an aside over the last week when I did my my segment on Thursday. I kind of mentioned a few things that I'll tell you again today. But the truth is worse than you think. The truth is worse than you've heard. For all the shit that the government's been telling you is not happening, all of it's happening and worse. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, I don't actually consider myself a journalist. I consider myself a podcaster who occasionally does journalism. And what I mean by that is journalists are not going to sit down with you and tell you how to prepare your beds for fall gardens. Journalists are not going to do a hour and 45 minute show on how to raise protein in your backyard. That's not journalism. That's edutainment, right? But when I cover things like the news, when I cover things in the real world, I would tell you that I think I am a better journalist than most people who are professionally considered to be journalists, because I actually follow this fucking weird thing called the rules of journalism, which means if I report something as a fact, I have two independent sources that both verify it directly, not 17 layers off some anonymous source told somebody who rewrote it. And everything I'm going to tell you that's going on and has gone on in North Carolina today is 100% verified from on the ground sources and or through intermediaries who are directing on the ground sources. So what I'm talking about there is, for instance, I don't name sources, but one of my sources will probably be on the air and he can name himself then. But he's actually working directly with relief workers on site. And I had an opportunity to speak to him at length during Self-Reliance Festival. And I got direct information from him. In other words, this person works with me and is in my group and is on the ground right now and saying this is happening. And then I've been able to get that exact same story, or at least a similar story if it's in two different locations, the same actions by government or inaction by government from two totally independent on the ground sources. So basically Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, et cetera, can all kiss my freaking Ukrainian ass. Okay. I'm telling you right now, this is what's going on. I will tell you things that will be hard for you to believe, and that's why I'm putting a little extra effort in to letting you know how I know it's true in the beginning here. Then we'll talk just briefly about Columbus Day, because today's Columbus Day, and the complete total retards on both sides of the issue are out in force today. I'm not going to belabor this, but I want to give you a little bit of why I think both sides do incredible disservice to indigenous peoples by lumping them into a group called indigenous peoples. And it'll make sense when I do it. And I'll give you two resources if you actually want to know what we know of the history of the New World. Okay. And one that pulls no punches for either side, by the way. And then we're going to talk about it's worse than you think, right? It really is. The truth is worse than you think. The state of this country, as we head into another election cycle and many other things, I really believe that if you liken the United States right now to a car, The car's basically running right. And a lot of people would get in the car as a passenger with you if it was your car and think there's nothing wrong with the car. But since you drove the car every day, as long as you've had the car, you know there's something that's just not right, and you feel like the wheels could fly off the car at any moment. And maybe that's an analogy that the wheels don't necessarily, but if the engine's going to blow, something really bad is going to happen to the car. And we've all, especially if we've driven beaters in our life, you have that moment where you just say, something really is wrong with this car. And even maybe a mechanic says, well, it seems okay to me, but you know, and then it happens. Then everything comes apart at the seams for the car. We're going to talk about how the U.S. is that way today. And then we're going to talk about the fact, and we're going to finish with this, I believe there's a war on our way of life. You know, the election just is a symptom of the disease, honestly, and some of the things going on with it. But there's a war on basically everything that makes us healthy and wealthy and in good psychological states. And so we're going to talk about that and what we can do about it as we wrap up today. Before we do that, though, I would like to go ahead and remind you about our two sponsors of the day. Our sponsors do a lot to help make sure the show is here for you Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. And today's sponsor day number one is Above Phone. I got to meet with the owner and founder of Above Phone at Self-Reliance Festival. I'm probably going to have him on the air again sometime soon, and we are probably going to be bringing you a TSP-branded Above Phone computer. Yeah, laptop. Like, this is actually a place I think people might be able to be even better served. People are kind of addicted to their phone technology, and even when you tell them they're being tracked and all. But did you know that you can really improve your life a great deal from a privacy and security standpoint by upgrading the way you run your computer in your house? And for people like me, you know, when I was talking to him, he was like, well, how much do you use the Above Phone you have? And I'm like, honestly, I don't use it a huge amount because I don't use my phone a lot. Right. So now I have two phones and I mean, my phone goes with me when I travel in case something goes wrong so I can call for help or to use like a navigation app or listen to an audiobook. Most of my time is spent right here. And I also talked to him about how, you know, you're really targeting like millennials and younger with a phone. Us older farts, like us Gen Xers and boomers, we spend a lot more time engaging online behind keyboards than we do phones. And so we were talking about that. They have a great product line there. And we're going to work on putting something together for you, just something to keep an eye on. But the phones are great, too. And remember, you get $75 off any phone at AbovePhone.com. And if you're like, I don't know if I can work this newfangled shit out, they will walk you through. They will handhold you through switching over to an Above Phone. Next up today, K9 Academy, Joel Riles. Also going to hang out with Joel at Self-Reliance Festival. That's always fun. Joel and his wife, Wendy. And you know, K9 Academy is something that we worked on together. Joel already had it, but the messaging behind it and the way that it was presented is something. We spent about a week here at my house. It was better part of half a week anyway, 5 days I think it was, hanging out in the pool, drinking too much alcohol, and eventually we drugged the whiteboard in and we mapped this out. And I believe it turned it into a really great program that really will help you learn how to train your dog. Dogs are actually pretty easy to train. Humans, on the other hand, that's the weak link. The dog knows what the dog is presented with. You need to learn how to enforce those key core obedient traits into your dog. Once you do that, you can do anything. So consider at least taking the core canine obedience course at canineacademy.us. With that, let's kind of dig into the stuff that I want to talk to you about today. And those of you that are listening to the audio, this will be one of those episodes where you really aren't missing anything by not being in the video and the live stream other than communicating with other people and communicating with me. On that, I do want you guys that are in the live stream to remember, if you want to ask me a question, then you need to put the word question, or if it's a comment you want me to say something about, in all caps first, and I might see it and I might start. And if you already did it today, I didn't see it. So that's going forward. I'll try to make sure my one good eye once in a while looks over at the live stream there so I can pick up and star those things for the future. All right, so I want to start out with what's going on in North Carolina and what's not happening. And when I say not happening, I don't mean just about anything you've been told is happening that makes the government look bad. Probably is. It probably is. And the only thing is maybe it's not happening as much as you would think it is, because they're not really doing that much to help people. And I'm going to say something here. It's going to sound like I'm defending FEMA for a second, and I'm not, but it's just the truth. FEMA's primary role in this is much more of a long-term role than a short-term role. They just pretend otherwise, and therefore it looks even worse than it is on their emergency response. So what I mean by that is FEMA's money is things like how when they say we're going to, you know, provide X amount of dollars for repairs to people that don't have insurance or to span the insurance gap, that's one of their main roles. Well, you're not doing that right now. You're not in a situation to do that right now. And that is part of the perception problem, but it's not a perception problem. It's a real world, real action problem. So, again, I want to be clear about this. I have 8 bullet points. And the last one's kind of opinion. So I'm going to say the 7 bullet points of things happening, 100% confirmed, multiple independent sources, people on the ground in North Carolina and in Eastern Tennessee, that this stuff is happening. Number one, they absolutely are trying to buy property from people for pennies on the dollar at a point where these people are in the worst moment of their life. As in, if you just abandon this place, here's a check for $14,000. And the place, you know, just the raw land is probably worth $100,000. That's happening left and right. And the only reason it's probably not happening more than it is because the presence of FEMA on the ground is woefully inadequate, like it always is. Like it always is. Okay. And this is interesting. Florida Mama Bear says, I don't know if that's an L. It could be FI Mama Bear or FL Mama Bear, but FEMA has changed its mission according to their website. Yeah, their primary goal is to have excellence in equity. It's something to that effect. They should have excellence in excellence at disaster. And they want to install equity into disaster relief. That's their first goal. That's really not a great goal. Okay, but yeah, they're trying to buy property from people, and the predatory nature of this is obscene. And this is what I mean by the fact that it's obscene. Picture the person they're doing this to. So you've been waiting for days to get any help whatsoever. Maybe one of your redneck neighbors got in with some water or something, but you're looking at this house covered in mud, completely destroyed, whatever. And a FEMA representative comes up and says, here's a check. And don't worry about anything you owe on the property. It'll all go away. You could start your life over right now. You're preying on people in their worst moment with that. You're preying on people with their worst moment in that. Next, they are blocking private citizens from rendering aid. And this does include private pilots flying aircraft at their own expense and discretion. And the excuse with the aircraft is, well, we have rescue missions. It's dangerous. Listen, that's bullshit. And the reason you know it's bullshit is because these pilots fly their helicopters and small fixed-wing aircraft, though that's being used less. But it's really helicopter pilots, rotor-wing pilots. They fly all the time. We have this thing called fucking air traffic control, okay, guys? We have this shit called radar. We know how to keep two helicopters from crashing into each other, I guess, unless the freaking military's flying them today, right? You know, we know how to use bolts that don't shear off unless the military's flying them today, right? You know, it's asinine. We can't have private aircraft and government aircraft in the air at the same time, except for the fact that we do it every day all over the place, frankly, with far more aircraft in the air. Go look up how many private helicopter pilots there are in this country, and go look at how many private helicopters are in the air at any given time. And so this is a non-starter argument. This is simply interference because they do not want private individuals getting in the way of government taking the credit for everything. And this is happening. And if anybody tells you that no one is being prevented from bringing aid and supplies into somebody, don't listen to that person. I'm not going to say anything bad about them because they just might be a brain-damaged individual, a psyop-damaged individual, a propagandized individual who believes what the TV says. Because you notice that even Fox News is saying this shit. Like, Fox News does just enough to look like they're on the other side, but basically their narrative is the same as everybody else's. Oh, the government's doing the best that it can. No. They are blocking private citizens from rendering aid. Next, they are seizing relief items and then in many cases not distributing it because it doesn't come from their preferred vendors. That's an exact quote from a FEMA official. This stuff doesn't come from our preferred vendors. It's not on the GSA schedule. Go fuck yourself. So that is happening. And the only way that it's being circumvented is it's almost like, and I don't really mean anything by this, but it's kind of odd. It's kind of weird. It's almost like FEMA's vampires or something. Because what they figured out really quick is like if we stockpile all this stuff in this gym or this shelter or this school or this parking lot, FEMA comes along and takes it. But if we put it in a church, FEMA leaves it alone. FEMA will not go into the churches. And so that spread real fast through the networks. Do all your stockpiling at churches, not in their parking lots, inside their facilities. If you put the stuff inside the facility, FEMA won't go in there. They won't touch it. Next up today, they're really not doing much except getting in the way. Okay? And what I mean by that is, the only reason this isn't worse than it seems with the interference, there's just not that many FEMA people on the ground. Most of North Carolina is being completely and totally ignored. They're not doing anything. They're not bringing anything in. In fact, what they're doing is it's the access to those areas where they're occupying and preventing help. And I'm going to go opinion here. Everything is factual. Right? My opinion is, back to the first confirmed bullet point, that it is so their people can get up there and start making offers on this property to seize this property from people. I'm not going to tell you that I know why they particularly want this property like some of the conspiracy loans, because I don't and they don't either. But they do apparently want it. Or if nothing else, they want to get those people out of those places. That's another way to look at this. The whole movement, and we'll get more into this in the second half of the show today, of the government and as the establishment right now seems to urbanize and domesticate people. You don't want these crazy Appalachians living out in the woods and not needing you, right? So the one time they need you in 150 years, you use that to uproot them. That's what it seems like to me. But again, that's my estimation. But they're really not doing much. People are sitting for days and you say, well, why don't they get out? Because they can't. You know, these are people that are hailing a way back in, and the only roads that access their property and the way out are gone. I don't mean damaged. I mean, they're not there. And so what we have is a bunch of rednecks coming out with heavy equipment, rebuilding roads instead of the government doing it, but more roads. That's happening too. I 100% can tell you there are rednecks all over North Carolina right now with heavy equipment, installing roads, repairing roads, filling in holes, backfilling shit, installing bridges, right? We sent immediately deployable combat bridges to Ukraine 3 years ago. But we can't get those into these areas of North Carolina and get people food and supplies in and get them out? No, because they're not important to the government, okay? Again, that's my opinion, but it's based on all these facts. Some of the soils are badly contaminated with chemicals. And let me explain to you what I mean by bad. So one of my sources that's working directly with people on site told me that the one town, and I keep thinking the name of the town is Marathon in my head, and I can't think of the right name of the town, but it's an old historic town. It was completely devastated with flood. and it has basically been buried in mud. So once the water receded, a foot deep mud left in the town. So these people were in there trying to clear the mud out, and they were coming out of the mud with severe chemical burns on their hands and their feet. So, okay, we need PPE. So they put protective equipment on, including rubber boots, and it didn't take long in the mud, and the rubber boots were beginning to melt. To melt the synthetic rubber boots. And my source is like, well, we're going to try real rubber and see if that works. And I haven't heard back from him yet. He's really busy, so I've kind of left him alone. I'm going to be reaching out to him about being on the show about a number of things in the future, but this being one of them. So they're like, well, maybe, you know, maybe real rubber will actually hold up to this. But what it seems like in that one instance is about 10 to 12 miles up from where this town is, there was a PVC plant that got completely deluged with the flooding, and all of the stored chemicals have been released, which creates all kinds of chemical mixing and bonding that normally wouldn't occur even in that very toxic environment of making PVC. So you've got all the shit used to make vinyl chloride, all the shit that's used to clean out equipment after it's done and needs to be cleaned before its next use, etc., and who knows what has been sitting in tanks there for decades that they don't use anymore, all washed in. This is not the only incidence of this. It's the worst one that I can 100% confirm is happening. And I have to ask you a question, folks. Did anybody here tell me right now, yes or no, has anybody here heard about that at all? And if you have heard about it other than from me, say yes. And then after yes, put mainstream media or alternative media, right? And if it's alternative media, that it means even your friend. And if you haven't heard about it at all, put no. No, nope, 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 right? No, no, no. I think I mentioned this on Thursday. Yes, through a YouTuber, says Florida Mama Bear, right? But you haven't heard this on Fox News. You haven't heard this on CBS or MSNBC or CNN. Okay, this is a huge news story. This is a huge news story. Remember how long they talked about that, was it Ohio, where that huge chemical spill was? Like, it was all they could talk about nonstop. This is kind of as bad. It's just less people affected because it's a smaller population center. No, 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 no. I don't see anybody saying yes except the one person heard it from a YouTuber. Yes, all me. I got two yeses. And this is an informed audience. This is an audience that pays attention to disasters. And you haven't heard about this. Why does it fall to the redneck hippie duck farmer to do the journalism? See, I don't even want to do this, guys. This is not the kind of show I enjoy doing. I would rather be teaching you right now what you need to do to get ready for fall with your garden, whether you're going to grow through your fall or prep your garden to grow in the spring next year. I'd much rather talk about that today. But we have to talk about this because nobody else will tell you. Another yes, alt. I would say it's 10 to 1, no versus yes. And not one person heard a word about this in the mainstream media. I'm telling you, that is 100% confirmed. Again, two different on-the-ground sources through two different channels that has happened and continues to happen. And it is in some ways directly connected to the modus operandi of your government and FEMA, because wait till you hear when I bring this guest on. Wait till you hear what went on in Maui and what continues to go on in Maui and how much chemical damage to our soils in Maui there is from the fires that happened that everybody forgot about by now. But the problem is not gone. It has not gone away. All right. Next, sheriffs have threatened FEMA workers, and more than one, if you interfere with my citizens trying to render aid to their friends, we will arrest you and put you in jail. That has happened. Has anybody, that's another one. Here we go. Yes or no? Has anyone heard that, but only answer it from mainstream media? You heard it on Fox News, MSN, New York Times, New York Compost, whatever. Has anybody out there heard anything about sheriffs threatening to arrest FEMA? Not FEMA members were being hunted by militias, which was total bullshit, by the way. Have you heard anything about sheriffs, duly elected sheriffs, on the ground, standing up and going, enough of this shit, put your hands on one of my people trying to help one of my other people, and I will cart your ass right to the county jail? Nope. Jake heard it. Jake, where did you hear it from? Jake hears everything because he sticks his nose in everything. Did you hear it from Fox, CNN, MSNBC, et cetera, Jake? I'd like to know that because everybody else is telling me no. And I can't believe this has been on YST. I don't know what YST is, Jake. What the hell? YouTube. YouTube's not mainstream media, Jake. Jake can never follow fucking instructions. He's a pain in the ass, okay? No. I want to know anybody, a Telegram post. No, no. Mainstream media. Have you heard anything from anything approaching mainstream media that sheriffs have threatened to arrest FEMA officials? I asked where, Jake. Never mind. I can't deal with Jake anymore on these live feeds. I got to ignore him. I'm not going to block him. I wish there was like a way I could just not see Jake, right? Like, I love Jake, but you're not following instructions. Everybody else has got it except Jake, right? So I got another person saying purple signs being put at keep up by residents. I don't know anything about that, Jeffrey, so I can't really talk about it. But no one has heard that that's happened from a journalist in this live feed. And there's over 250 people in a live feed right now. Not one. If you're a journalist, isn't that a story that you would think you would want to cover? Like one of the greatest disasters to ever hit the United States has pitted county sheriffs against FEMA officials with the sheriffs saying, we are going to put you in jail if you touch one of our people. Gee, why wouldn't they tell you that? Because then they would have to also tell you that FEMA's interfering with private citizens trying to help other citizens. Because if that wasn't happening, the sheriffs would have never threatened it. Again, this is 100% confirmed. I will also tell you something else that's been confirmed, and I got lots of confirmation on this. Again, all either direct from the ground or direct from coordinators with on-the-ground teams. FEMA officials have been notified in certain areas when they try to interfere with private rescuers, and there's like two or three FEMA guys and like 20 rednecks taking shit in, stop us and we'll shoot you. You interfere with us helping our friends and we will shoot you. And nothing more has come of it than that, because apparently when a bunch of Appalachian rednecks tell feds, fuck around, you will find out, they tend to believe that. So that has happened. 100% confirmed, more than one location, FEMA workers have been called on their bullshit and they've backed off. And I would expect that they would, because they just don't have the body count, they don't have the training, and you don't want to fuck with the people who are trying to help out their friends who cut their eye teeth on fucking deer meat. You really don't. I said when this all started, I have a feeling the people of Appalachia are not going to take this shit the way the pacifist type mindset in Hawaii did. And that seems to be playing out. Pretty much everything the TV says, including Fox News, about this situation is a lie. It is a complete and total clusterfuck. I'm not even going to get into the money allocation and it went to illegal aliens and supposedly Trump. That's all bullshit anyway. This whole thing, the argument about the money, understand what the government's response is. Well, yeah, FEMA gave money to illegal aliens in 2021 when Biden was president, but Trump did it. Okay, sure, whatever, right? But it was money that was allocated for illegal aliens and migrants. It wasn't allocated for disaster relief. This is like you're dealing with a family that tells you they can't get their budget together, and you say, look, I noticed that you're spending an awful lot of money on heroin and meth. And they go, yeah, but we allocated that money for heroin and meth. That's the best way I can describe it. But it's okay. This is the money allocated to pay the mortgage. This is the money allocated to pay the electric bill. And we're short on the mortgage payment this month. And yeah, we bought some heroin and we bought some meth, but that money was allocated for heroin and meth. It's bullshit. Money is money. And when you take money and you spend it inappropriately, you don't have it to spend it appropriately. And notice they have no problem allocating, borrowing, printing money for everything, for every single foreign war, every third world shithole, including two sides in the same war, right? We're giving money to Lebanon while we're paying for weapons to bomb Lebanon from Israel. And now we're taking American troops and deploying them with ADA equipment, air defense artillery, inside Israel proper. Oh, joy. Ah, we'll get to that later. But that's what's going on in North Carolina. Everything that you've been told from the outside, other than they're steering the hurricane with HAARP, just about everything other than that is 100% true and verifiable. And this is why, just on my rant from Thursday, this is why I said, even if you're right, you're stupid for talking about it. You can't get people to listen to the shit that I just told you, that you can 100% verify. We have videos of this shit happening, and you can't get people to listen to it. How much do you think they're going to tune you out when you tell them they're steering a hurricane that would require more energy than 10,000 nuclear reactors combined would have to do it? Because that's the physics involved, right? So that's what's going on. Now, before we transition to the wheels coming off the car that is the United States, I want to just say a little bit about Columbus Day, since it is Columbus Day today. And because the morons are out in force on both sides. You got people holding up Chris Columbus like he should be Saint Christopher Columbus. Like he brought, you know, civilization to the new world and made the world that we have today what it is. And the reality is, I don't give a fuck about Christopher Columbus, because we were at a point in history when Columbus got on those boats and came over here. They already knew there was something here. They didn't think they were going to sail off the fucking end of the world. I don't care if your history teacher told you. That's bullshit. They knew there was something here. They just didn't know what it was. If it wasn't Columbus, it would have been somebody. It was a race to who was going to get here first and get credit for it. That's all that it was. But Christopher Columbus and the Europeans that followed him did some horrible things when they got here. But the thing that caused the most death, the diseases, the smallpox and all, for all the stories about smallpox, blankets and shit, it was very limited in it ever happening. And it wasn't early on. That was well into settlement, when most of the damage had already been done. We have a horrible way that we judge people in history. We do two things about history. We judge them based on modern ethics, which is stupid, because they didn't exist back then. There were different ethics back then. And I mean generally accepted ethics. Right? I think it is unethical to have slaves. But the generally accepted ethics of the time were slaves are perfectly normal. And that was all over the world, including here before we got here, by the way. I'll get to that. But we also judge them as though they knew what we know today. So what did the first Europeans know of smallpox? It was the disease that you got, and some people got better, and some people died. That's it. And what did they blame for it? They looked at it spiritually. They thought it was God's will. And so did the Native Americans that were here. The indigenous peoples of North and South America looked at disease exactly the same way. There's no accounts of Native Americans of the time blaming the Europeans for the plagues. They thought it was God-on-God warfare, basically. So that particular thing, which I believe caused the death of millions and millions and millions, tens of millions of people, far more than most modern estimates say. I still don't blame the Europeans for that, and it would have happened sooner or later. By the way, if you have a hard time understanding why the Native Americans were hit so hard with these diseases, there's what they call virgin soil. And that means that a group of people who have never been exposed to an illness that get exposed to it will have less resiliency than those who have been exposed to it for generations. But there's more. There's something called a haploid group. A haploid group is basically the genetics that are handed down from your mother's side, right? And within those haploid groups, if you have a very small number of haploid groups, then you will have a very genetically homogeneous society. What does that mean? That means if the people that came here were people that would be hit hard by smallpox, then all the people that came here and all the people that came from them, all the subsequent reproduction and expansion, they all harbored these same root genes that made them more likely to die than otherwise. Where in Asia, where in Europe, there was much more genetic diversity. Do you see that, how that works? So if you have, if all your chickens came from one hatch, from a hatchery, and you got avian flu, you're either going to have a very low death rate or a very high death rate, because everybody's very genetically homogeneous, right? If you have a barnyard flock, a large flock of chickens, and they're from all different types of groups and all different types of breeding, you could have a segment that gets wiped out and a segment that barely responds to it. It's the same thing. It's basic science. So that's why they got hit so hard with it. But this is my problem with the purists on both sides. The people who will talk about Columbus like he's literally Satan incarnate have no idea what the history of the New World is, or North and South America is, prior to settlement. It is not a peaceful, loving environment. There were massive cities here, and not just in like Central and Northern South America. There were massive cities in the southeastern United States. There were monarchies. There was slavery, pretty much from Virginia down to the southeastern United States, kind of where it was under, you know, American settlement. Kind of the same Mason-Dixon line. They just didn't call it that. Why? Because it financially didn't make sense to have slaves in the northeastern United States based on topography and how everything worked. And it made sense to have slaves in places with broad-scale, flat agriculture. That's why. When Cortez marched through the southeast United States on his murderous spree, but he killed more people with disease than with weaponry. He went from polity to polity, and the kings and queens, the monarchs of these city-states, gave him food so he'd leave. You know what else they gave him? Slaves. They literally gifted him, here, take some slaves, take some food for the slaves, go that way, it's better over there, get rid of them. What you really had in the initial first contact scenarios, the Native Americans believed that they could use the Europeans to their advantage and control the situation, and the Europeans believed the exact same thing in the other direction. And if you really want to know about this, I have two books to recommend. There's links in the show notes today, 1491, America Before Columbus, and 1493, America After Columbus, written by the same author. You'll learn more about history than you learned in the – I don't care if you have a history degree – from a prestigious college. You'll probably learn more about history in those two books of the North and South American continent, in the second book, the world as a whole, from 1493 to present, than you already know, just in those two books. And no one's going to come off like they were the good guys. You know, this is what I think we've done to indigenous peoples. It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. We speak about them in a homogeneous way, as though they were all stewards of the earth that cried when they saw garbage, right? You guys, if you're as old as me, you remember the commercial, the crying Indian, and they lived in perfect balance. And no. This continent was managed by people with fire. If you don't know about the history of fire in the continents, you don't know about the history of the continents. You don't. And the huge surplus of game, the huge surplus of everything that when settlement in earnest began about 100 to 150 years after first contact was because the Native Americans were completely wiped out and populations exploded of game and all the different plants that they would use and things like that. Because there were so many less people predating, the explosion in the game numbers went through the roof. There were bison on the East Coast. Why? Because the Native Americans literally cleared paths all the way from the Mississippi River to the East Coast and did some of the first cattle drives, right? There was massive trade. Cahokia had, you know, mother of pearl from the Gulf of Mexico, copper from Canada and like where Michigan is today. They had shit from the northwestern United States, the southeastern United States. There were major trade routes. The societies of natives in this country were as diverse as anywhere in the world. They had some of the biggest cities that have ever existed in the world in Mexico and Central America. They had huge cities and city-states in North America proper. And yet there were also the natives that lived more like we're told. The best way to sell the lie is with the truth. And what ended up happening, a lot of these hunter-gatherer societies that we observed as we got into deep settlements, they were the remnants of these city-states that fell apart. I want you to think about something. What would this country look like if half the people in it fell over and died right now in a year? Do you think society would hold together? I mean, 50% of 330 million is a lot. That's still 100 and something million people. But how many of those people would be leaders? How many of those people would be scientists? How many of those people would be engineers that know how shit works? and you start to fall into complete disrepair. What is the despair? What is the sorrow of a nation to lose half of its people? Go ask North Korea. They lost about 25% in the Korean conflict. That's a real number. No shit, 25%. As bad as that is, imagine it being 50%. And then imagine that it's from disease, and imagine it's a time when you don't know what disease is. And you really think if somebody gets sick and dies, God or gods willed it so. What does that do to a society? Well, what if that number is closer to 80% or 85%, which is probably about right? Do you know, I'm gonna cover this, and then I'm going to go on. But I want people to know this, because I always hear, it wasn't diseases. There's no such thing as a virus. Shut up. You're retarded. I cannot deal with you. I can't. I cannot deal with people that say stupid shit like that. Let's just go on. I'm just going to refer you to 1491 and 1493. There's links in the show notes. They'll default to the audio, but you can get print version or whatever. I really think both of those books make a lot of sense in audio, though, and play them at 1.1x speed at least, because the narrator is just a tad slow for my taste anyway. All right, so let's talk about the country as a whole, because I want to spend some time on this, and I don't want to rush toward the end. So we'll just skip where I was going there. But I feel like the country is a car, and it's like a well-used car. You know, and I haven't owned like a car with a lot of miles on it in a long time. But, you know, that's how most of us, especially my age, we started out. Like, you didn't go to like get your license at 16 and mom and dad bought you like a 5-year-old freaking Mercedes or a Lexus or some shit when I was a kid. My first car was a 75 Pontiac Grand Prix. Paid $300 for it. And 2 weeks after I bought it, I had to put a transmission in it. And I knew I was going to have to. So I've driven piece of shit cars. But you know, you get that piece of shit car, and then you fix everything you can. You know, back then, you know, no fuel injection. You change your plugs and your wires, maybe your distributor cap. You do an oil change. You do a transmission service. You do everything you can to make that car as decent as you can, because it's your car and you have to rely on it. It's how you get places. And you're in your car, and you've been driving. Now let's say you've had the car 6 months to a year. And so you've had that much experience with it, and you feel something in the way that it drives. You feel a shimmy or a shake, or there's a certain way the motor responds, or maybe the transmission doesn't quite shift the way that it should. You know something ain't right. Your buddy's in the car with you, and you say, hey, do you notice that? And the guy's like, no, I don't know. It's nothing. Okay, that's awake Americans and slumbering Americans right now. The car that is this country is about to have everything just fly off of it one way or another. Now, will it be catastrophic to the point where you might as well junk the car and start over, or will it be something we can rebuild? I don't know yet, and I don't pretend to know. And people that say they know are liars. But I think we're on the verge of something akin to civil war. Whether it is a true all-out civil war, I don't know, but akin to a civil war. And here's why. Just look at the election in of itself. And you know me, I'm not going to tell you if so-and-so wins, everything's going to be terrible. And if so-and-so wins, everything's going to be better. But this is how the average person in this country that participates in the electoral process feels right now. The people that support Trump feel there's absolutely no way Trump loses if the election's legitimate. Okay. Anybody doubt me on that? But that's how the average person who is going to vote for Trump feels right now. Kamala's in a tailspin. She's collapsing off the edge of the earth. They've done a bunch of stupid shit. Tim Walz was a terrible pick. The polls are very close. But the bigger deal is, if you look at the polls compared to where Biden was at this time, Kamala's doing much worse than Biden did. Kamala's doing much worse than Hillary did, and Trump won one of those elections and almost won the other one. Razor-thin margin on the one with Biden. And so the average Trump voter really believes two things. The last election was stolen. If they don't win this election, that means it was stolen again. Here's the other side of that. Least you think I'm picking a horse in the race. Now, if I'm betting right now, I'm betting on Orange Man. Like, if I'm actually laying, I'm going to put a $500 bet down, right? Which you can do, by the way. I'm betting on Orange Man because of what I just said. However, the average person who who is going to vote for Kamala, has deep-seated TDS, deep-seated Trump derangement syndrome. I'm telling you, they do. They feel he's been convicted of 34 felonies. Ask them what those 34 felonies are. They're so low information, most of them have no idea. They don't know that the big giant civil charge for fraud was just thrown out by an appellate court, not exactly a highly conservative appellate court, by the way, and that the lawyers who prosecuted that case against Trump ended their final arguments with, please don't sanction us. Please don't punish us. We have to be able to bring these cases to see what happens. No shit, right? They don't know any of this. They know 34 felonies. What are they for? Paying hush money to Stormy Daniels. No, they're not, right? They don't know anything, but they believe Trump caused a riot. Trump is a Nazi, blah, 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 blah. Hence, and they also surround themselves, just like Trump voters do, with nothing but parents in their echo chamber. They feel the same way. If Trump wins, their world is over, and it's not an illegitimate election, and it was stolen from Harris. They don't know how. Russia disinformation, whatever. Doesn't matter. Okay, when you have both sides in that state, that means no matter who wins, one side's going to say the other side stole the election and contest it. At a point where we have used the word civil war more from 2010 till today than we used at any other 15-year period in history except in the 1850s and 60s when we actually had a civil war. And if you look and you do a research in books and articles and shit like that, there's a focus on civil war. And if you go to Google Trends and you look up Civil War, you don't see this continuing uprising thing of interest in Civil War. What you see is at every point anything major happened, it spikes. When Trump got elected, it spiked. When Biden got elected, it spiked. When the George Floyd riots happened, it spiked. Okay, when Trump got his ear clipped, not even assassinated, it spiked. It continues to spike every time anything happens. What that means is that's where people's mind is. And when people's mind is in a certain area, the area that it's in can happen more likely than not. So I think we have a real chance at something, either a full civil war or something like civil war. I mean, something like civil war could be a recreation times 50 of the BLM riots would be one example. And I'm going to tell you that could come from either side. And the emotion, the anger, and the angst is very high. There are people that believe if Kamala Harris is elected, we will be in nuclear war by the end of next year. Do I believe that? I don't know. It's possible. It's possible if Trump's elected. There are people that believe if Trump wins, all the journalists are going to be rounded up and put in camps, and LGBT people are going to be thrown out of helicopters or something. And they believe this. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. What matters is what people believe. And the left, on top of all this, they can't figure out why men hate them. Right? If you are a man and you have a testosterone level of like 400 or higher, if you're not a soy boy, and you're not gay, and even a lot of people that are gay, right? But I mean, if you're a typical cisgendered man, I don't care if you're white, black, Hispanic, or Asian, odds are you're probably 80% of that group is all in on Trump and 20% to Harris. And that's the ones that vote. There's a whole bunch of people like me that we're not in on anybody. But again, if you put a gun to my head right now and say, you got to pick one, and it's up to you. And all you get is Trump and Harris. It's Trump. If nothing else, I don't have to listen to her fucking cackle for four fucking years. But I'm telling you, the average man wants nothing to do with the modern Democrat Party. Unless they have some sort of advantage that they gain by backing it. So high-level union bosses and things like that. But the union workers have made their call. There's more, you know, everyday blue-collar union worker support for the Republican Party right now than any time that I can remember. I mean, it's more than Reagan had. It's more than fucking Reagan had. Because why? Why do you think men in particular Why do you think men in particular have basically just written off the liberal democratic agenda? Why? I want to see if anybody can give me an answer here, right? Democrats have turned their backs on the unions and the worker. True. But just the union and the worker is only a piece of it. I'm talking about men. Me. Right? They hate us. That's a pretty good explanation from 229 Mick. They hate us. Basically, what's our place? And again, don't make it about – they want you to make it about white men, okay? They want you to – don't make it about white men. You are a cisgendered male, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, something else. What do you gain by participating in the liberal agenda unless you're in some sort of bureaucratic bullshit position where you directly benefit by them staying in power? What do you get? What do you get? I mean, it has taken minority groups a little longer to come around, but I don't care. You're a black dude. You're a black dude that works a blue collar job in America today. You have a wife and two kids, and you're doing your best to raise your family. What do you gain by being a liberal Democrat today from their agenda as stated, not even what they do as stated? You gain absolutely nothing. So they've made no place for us. How many videos have you seen of people walking around and asking, especially young women, do you need a man? Are men useful? What are men good for? And they say nothing. I'd like to propose an idea here. This is an idea. Now, don't go doing it next week. Like, we would have to put some, like, a lot bigger, bigger influencers than me would have to get on board with this. What if men just went on strike for 2 weeks? We just, 2 weeks, we're not doing anything. We're not even going to order DoorDash. Right? We're going to make sure we have enough food and water and stuff for us. And if we're married or family member, our family, and we're just not leaving the house for 2 weeks. We're not driving Ubers. We're not driving Uber Eats. We're not delivering shit from Amazon. We're not roughnecking. We're not doing our work as linemen. We're not mining the coal. We're not pumping the oil. We're not pumping the gas. It's all oil. It's all just pollution anyway. Yet live without it for a couple weeks and see how you feel about it. How fucked would this country be if the average man just did nothing for 2 weeks? Let me ask you a question. What about a month? What about 1 month? All men do nothing. We do exactly what they claim, right? They say we're unnecessary, right? Now imagine a group of people, a large group of powerful people that send this message to men and then are like, why don't they like us? Why won't they support us? Here's the thing. They don't care. All of a sudden they care because they went so far with it. Now they think that their hand-picked, cackling idiot, you know, freaking drunk, fucking wine-based retard, right, is going to lose. All of a sudden now men are important. Men need to vote. They're sending out Obama to try to shame black men into voting. I don't think that's going to work, you know. I don't have like a shitload of black friends. I have a few. I don't have a shitload. But from what I know and talking to black guys, as a group in general, they're not big on other people telling them what they fucking need to be doing, especially rich motherfuckers who didn't do shit for them when they were in office for 8 years saying they were going to do something for them. And they look back and they go, motherfucker didn't do nothing for me. Right. So what do? We take Tampon Tim, dress him up in Hunter Orange, and send him out to go pheasant hunting. And there's more fucking cameras than hunters. There's cameras everywhere. An asshole so stupid he can't even load his shotgun. Retired Command Sergeant Major, right? Can't load a shotgun, right? If you haven't seen the video, you should look it up. It's a goddamn joke. It really is. But this is going to make men come home to the Democrat Party. They did this. Anybody see the commercial? Anybody see the commercial of the real men that are real men for Harris? And there's a dude saying he's a rancher and he's sitting like he's, I don't know if you have balls. I don't know how you sit that way without crushing them on the tailgate of a truck. He's got twig arms. He's supposed to be a rancher. Another dude, and this guy turns out to be an illegal immigrant, by the way, actor, who's in shape. He's the best shape out of anybody in this, but he talks about he can bench press 500 pounds. First of all, that's not the flex you think of. Second of all, no, he can't. You look at that dude and go, no, you can't. Like your arms will literally break if you tried to bear 500 pounds in a bench press. You got another fat, bisexual dude that's like, I can rebuild a carburetor. I eat carburetors for breakfast. This commercial shows they don't even know what men are. Not only do they not know what a woman is, they don't know what a man is. It's like they never spoke to a real man in their life, and they probably haven't. These people live a very sequestered, sheltered existence, and they really are struggling to understand this, but this is bad because they control about half the levers of power in the country from an elected position, but they control about 75 to 80% from a bureaucratic installed position, and they control every major institution in America. They control the media. They control the universities. That's who's in control. These idiots are in control, okay? The economy is in deep shit no matter who wins. We're $35 trillion in debt. We're now spending more money on the interest on the debt than we are on national defense. So the economy's in a tailspin. It doesn't matter what happens. Sure, maybe Orange Band wins. Maybe that gives us a few more years. Maybe that gives us one more cycle of good times, which won't be that great, but it will feel great compared to what you have right now. Maybe that gives you a little more time to get yourself in a better position, but it doesn't make the problem go away. There's no way out of this other than an eventual rebasement of the currency, which we know because it's what they always do. Every government in history, when they've run this cycle out long enough, either dissolves and reconstitutes and thereby rebases the currency, or stays in place and rebases the currency. We've done this multiple times in our country. The crime of 1873, look it up, was a currency rebasement. So that was 1873. In 1913, the creation of the Federal Reserve was a currency rebasement. 1933, revaluing gold against the dollar was a currency rebasement. 1964, when they demonetized silver from the coins, was a currency rebasement and a default on our. You know, you think it's not that big a deal today because what can you buy for a quarter? Go see what a silver quarter is worth, and that's what you could buy in 1964 with a silver quarter. And the next year, the quarter was a functionally worthless implement. And then, of course, in 1971, when Nixon closed the gold window, was another rebasement. And we've gotten over 50 years out of that. And we're about to pay the piper. So the economy's in deep shit. Again, this is those things that you know in that used car, and your buddy says this car seems fine. The mechanic says the car seems, but you've driven it, you know. Something bad's about to happen. That's where we're at right now. I really do believe, because there are people in the live chat here that are saying that, you know, we are more likely to end up at war with Harris. I say maybe. I think we're more likely to end up in multiple front wars with Harris. I think with Harris, we're a lot more likely to end up directly engaged in war in a European continent over Ukraine, which is absolutely asinine, and there is no benefit to us whatsoever by doing it. I believe that's the case. I believe it might be the case that we may be a little bit more likely to end up in some sort of conflict, like in the Taiwan Straits or something, with Harris. Maybe. I'm not sure. But when it comes to the Middle East, there ain't nobody all in on Israel like Orange Man. He said they should just take over and completely rebuild Lebanon, that it's not a real country. Are you daft? Right? So I don't know that we actually get our shit together and get back into a footing in the Middle East like we had under Orange Man 1.0, which was, you know, Abraham Accords, people starting to talk to each other, et cetera, and isolating Iran out from the rest of everything else. But no, Trump's all in on this conflict. Just like I told you, if you can remember this far back, if you were around this far back, in 2008 when I started this, and we were heading up to an election, and Obama was running first time, Obama will win, and Obama will expand the war, specifically the war in Afghanistan. And everybody told me I was crazy. And what happened? Obama won, and Obama expanded the war in Afghanistan. All you have to do is pay attention to who these people are when they show you, and then believe them. So I don't know that we are in a better stance to avoid war in the Middle East, which could turn into a global war with Trump than Kamala, maybe a little bit. But until the only way – so here I'm going to give you Trump's plan for Ukraine. And it should exactly be the plan that we have in Ukraine, Israel, with one modification. Here's Trump's plan in Ukraine. He can't say it. But this is his plan. Just like Nixon on his reelection had a secret plan to end the Vietnam War, which is stop doing it. Right? That was Nixon's plan to end the Vietnam War. I have a secret plan to end the war. I can't say it until after a reelection. Gets reelected in a landslide. Okay, we're pulling the fuck out, right? That's basically what Trump wants to do in Ukraine. Trump's going to tell Zelensky, and I think he already has backdoor channels in their one meeting. So here's how it's going to work, man. We'll keep you propped up a little bit if you start negotiating with the Russians. But you're going to get to the table. You're going to negotiate a peace. And if you don't go in good faith to negotiate a peace, then we're going to pull the rug completely and we're not going to give you another dime. And that's how Trump's saying, I can end the war before I even take office. Because the minute that is the reality for Ukraine, Ukraine will go, okay, keep that shit. Now our party, and this is something people don't understand about Ukraine. If you take the Donbass out of Ukraine, and if you would call the party that Zelensky represents, it doesn't matter, the Republicans, okay? It's like the equivalent per capita would be taking Washington State, Oregon, and California and pushing it out to sea. And then what happens to the balance of power in America? Well, the Republicans take over. It's actually in their best interest to get rid of that part of the country, because without them, the vote swings all the way to the other side of the political spectrum. So if your choice is get obliterated and wiped out or consolidate power for your party and accept the loss, which one are you going to do? So that's his plan there. How does that work in Israel? We should take mostly the same approach. Y'all are going to work this out. The one caveat I would do is I would contact Hamas and say, you know those hostages you have that are Americans? You want us to go forward with this plan? I want them all back now. Now. This second. Right now. Oh, by the way, they're American citizens, so I'm not helping Israel here, but I'm going to blow up one of your key commanders every day until I get my hostages back, because they're American citizens. That's what America First looks like. And you know what Hamas would do? Here. You're going to get out of this if we give you your people back? Here. And here's the ones we killed that we said we didn't kill. And get out. That would be the approach I would take. And people say Hamas is evil. I agree. I'm not going to argue with you. I also think that blowing up like entire residential areas to get one bad guy, pretty evil too, Israel. But people have been asking me, well, what's your solution? I don't have a solution to a conflict that's gone on for millennia. And I'm not arrogant enough to believe that I have one. My solution is for America. Now, I checked the map of America, and I did not see Ukraine in that map. Except for some clever ones people made about, you know, getting relief effort to North Carolina by renaming North Carolina Ukraine. Okay. I didn't see Ukraine there. I didn't see Israel there. I didn't see Gaza there. I didn't see Lebanon there. I didn't see Taiwan there. I didn't see Korea there. And so I'm already opposed to our next intervention, wherever it is, unless there's a direct threat to Americans and our way of life. I am for non-intervention. You're an isolationist. An isolationist would be Japan during the Edo period. That's isolationism. Japan was basically like, if you come to Japan and you're not from Japan, we'll kill you. You're not allowed to come in, and our people don't go out and trade, and we just stay here in Japan. That's isolationism. Think about what these idiots have done. They have convinced you that the only way to be non-isolationist is to participate in other people's wars. Think about that. Being engaged in trade and negotiation and seeking peace with all parties, alliances with none, and trade with all, in the words of Jefferson, that's isolationism. Jefferson was an isolationist. Jefferson was not an isolationist. Jefferson was anti-exporting of wars. That's what Jefferson was. What about he sent the Marines to Tripoli in North Africa? Because they were capturing and enslaving Americans. That's why. Right? So I'm all about, if someone somewhere is fucking with America, they fucked around. Now it's time to find out. Somebody's fucking around with this other country, and we don't have, especially we don't have a signed agreement of mutual alliance, that's your problem. That's your problem. Because most of these nations would not engage in these conflicts if we weren't there. I'm back to the best analogy I have for this. You got four dudes that have no neck, that lift weights with their teeth in the gym, that live to beat people up. They're just giant, huge, 275-pound masses of meat, 6 foot six. You know, they can kill you with their thumb, literally. And you take an asshole, and you say, these guys are your security, and you send them into a bar. He's going to start fights. He's going to cause problems. He's going to be obnoxious shit because he's not worried because the four goons have his back. Send him in that same bar by himself. He's going to be a totally different person now, isn't he? That's what we've done. We've emboldened people by referring to them as allies when they have no obligations to us as allies. Let me explain what I mean by that. If the United States is directly attacked, NATO members like France and the UK are obligated to come to our defense if we invoke Article 1. Okay? They have to. That's the agreement in NATO. There's other parts in NATO that they have not, you know, I don't know if they would honor it because they haven't honored like the part where they're supposed to pay for their own shit. Trump is right about that. I don't care if you don't like Trump. I don't really like Trump, but he's right about when somebody's right, I don't care if I like them. I care that they're right. Okay, so we have that mutual agreement with NATO. Israel is not an ally. We have no treaty with Israel that obligates us to physically defend them, nor are they obligated to physically defend us, nor do they tend to do that. Ukraine is not an ally of the United States. There is no alliance with Ukraine. They are not a NATO member, and we have no individual alliance with them. And Ukraine is under no obligation to do anything on behalf of the United States. We have just willingly obligated ourselves to do stuff on their behalf. This is the world that we live in today. And I do think it has this country on the edge of completely falling apart. The Israeli war is going to complete shit, and we're aiding it. I have said very little about the war in Israel because I know that it's not going to change because of what I say, and I tend not to get into subjects that make everybody angry at me, and I gain nothing by doing it. But the Israelis are killing the shit out of civilians, period, the end. I'm sorry. They are, and they're okay with it. But we got a bad guy. Now, I just want you to take this the other way. If Hamas launched a bunch of rockets at a place and they killed like 25 people, but they got one key strategic, honest-to-God military target person from the Israeli IDF, wouldn't the whole West say, oh my God, look at the barbarism, look what they did. We want it both ways, right? We want to be able to say what you're doing is a war crime, then we want to do the same thing and say it's not. War is horrible. The American people are way too comfortable with war. And we're comfortable with war because we have two giant oceans. And since the American Civil War, the people of this country have been completely insulated from the effects of war on anybody that didn't go to war. I would say even like the Spanish-American War and stuff like that. The civilians, you know, in the rest of the country didn't care. It didn't. I mean, they might have had rationing or had trouble getting things or bought a war bond or something. But unless you deployed as a member of the military or like Merchant Marine or something, you didn't really give anything up. You just know that in the end we won, except when we tied and when we lost. But they still said we won the battles, but not the war. However that works, Vietnam. Right. But we have become way too comfortable with war. Then we had a war in the 1990s, early 1990s, that was literally it was all this buildup in 100 hours. It was over. We completely wiped out the Iraqi military, and everybody put the foam fingers on, number one. That led to 20 years of war. And in 20 years of war, what did the average American sacrifice? What did the average American sacrifice? Nothing. Well, what about the mother whose son went to war and he died? She sacrificed personally. But she was not, like, she didn't even do what they did in World War II. So, like, she didn't even have a ration on how much elastic she could buy. No one made her paint the tops of her lights on her car black, which if you were on the East or West Coast of World War II, by the way, they did that. In case we were ever bombed at night, if they ever got over, they painted the tops of the headlights certain distance from the coast, you had to paint the tops of your headlights black. They had all types of war rationing and things like that. We didn't even do that. So we have this idea that war something happens over there. It's okay. I'm telling you, the forces we're playing with right now, that's not how war will work. And we can be reached with cyber warfare in ways that would scare the shit out of you if you knew how bad they really were. I can't go into that today. The Ukraine conflict is reaching a point of desperation for Zelensky. He knows Orange Man is likely coming. It's going to cut off the gravy train. And this is what a lot of people don't know about Ukraine right now. Everybody's of the belief that all the money we're giving to Ukraine has been like to support the war effort. It's all like howitzers and bombs and bullets and shit. We've given them billions and billions and billions of dollars, straight up money that's had nothing to do directly with the war effort. Right now, the retirees from the Ukrainian government on pensions are being paid their pension funds from money that you gave them that your grandchildren have to pay back. And so when that faucet goes off, it is not just the war that dries up. It is not just the weaponry that dries up. The country goes into full-scale economic default. In fact, it was already almost there. And, you know, like the Rothschilds and shit are like, we'll give you an extension on your loan. This is the plan for Ukraine. When it's over, assuming it doesn't cause World War III, Russia gets the Donbass. And BlackRock gets the contract to rebuild. And all of the freaking huge numbers of immigrants in like France and shit that they let in, they're like, now we fucked up. They're going to get exported to Ukraine because there's not enough men left to rebuild Ukraine. That's the plan. You watch. That's what's going to happen. So that's where we are. But on top of this, I believe that there's a war on our way of life here in America that has nothing to do directly with everything we've been talking about up till now, maybe a little bit in the political sense. First of all, there's a war on meat and people that eat meat. If you doubt that in any way, I just don't even know what to tell you right now. I've been hearing you need to eat less red meat for most of my life, and I'm in my 50s. I've heard that I remember hearing that when I was in high school. I probably heard it when I was in grade school. I just didn't give a shit enough to remember. But I've been hearing since I was a teenager that we should eat less meat. There was a point in my life where I actually believed red meat made you fat. I didn't believe it for very long, but there was a point in my life that I like, yeah, if you want to lose weight, like that's one of the things you do. You eat mostly vegetables and you get rid of meat and you get rid of fat and you'll lose weight. And it doesn't work. It makes you fatter is what it does. Because then you eat more food, more calories, more sugar, and that's what makes you fat. But there's a war. I would tell you, I think it's so bad that every person out there should have a protein plan in their backyard. If you're suburbs, it's maybe it's rabbits or it's quail or it's like a, and I think everybody should maybe look at something like a small, like 4-chicken flock or a 4-duck flock or something like that for eggs. You need a protein plan in your backyard. This is where we're switching to what we need to do about all this shit. And you need to get to know people who raise protein near you that are outside the conventional system. They're going to choke this off. You want to see it? Go to Albertsons or Publix or HEB or wherever and go to the butcher counter and look what they're selling ribeye or sirloin for right now. It's caviar prices. It's caviar prices. They're trying to squeeze you out. Now, there's still ways around it for now, but I think they're going to keep squeezing. They're shutting down slaughter facilities when we don't have nearly enough. They've made it almost impossible for individuals to set up meat processing facilities, though some states are pushing back on it. We need more pushback on it. But we need a market so that it's worth building the facilities out to operate at the state and local level and get out of this federal shit, because they do not want you eating meat. And they don't want you eating meat for the same reason they shove fluoride in your water for 100 years. Because they don't want you smart, they don't want you resilient, they want you sick, lethargic, and compliant. And if that sounds conspiratorial, pull your head out of the sand and look around and see what's going on. Go look at the people that are white dudes for Harris. That's what you look like when you live a life based on soy intake and seed oils and high fructose corn syrup and ho-hos and ding-dongs. That's what it does to you. It fucks up your hormones. The number one reason that diets like carnivore or keto cause weight loss is they bring your hormones in balance. This is, I mean, it's not about calories. Again, I think if you're eating 12,000 calories a day, you're going to gain weight sooner or later. Okay? You can only eliminate so much. So if you force yourself to do it, calories will come into it at some point, energy out. But in the end, it's really hormones that dictate how much you eat and what your body does with what you eat. And you can see it very easily. Like, take all the woke nonsense away from this. Don't let any of it come back in or anybody having surgeries or anything. Just imagine you have 2 8-year-olds, the same height. One's a boy and one's a girl. Neither one has long hair. If they have long hair, it's all bundled up so you can't tell. The hair is the same. You're standing 25 feet away from them. They're completely silhouetted where they just like look like black silhouette against white. Tell me which one the girl is and which one the boy is. You can't. You'll never, I mean, it's 50, you might as well flip a coin, right? Okay, now they're both healthy, appropriate to type, same height, same deal, everything's the same. One's a boy, one's a girl. You immediately go, that's the woman, that's the boy. Why? Body shape. Okay, so what tells the girl's body to put a little more fat on the hips? What tells the girl's body to build up the breasts? What creates the body type that is female? What creates more muscle tone in the male? What creates a larger frame in the male? They eat the same diet. They are the same age. They are the same height. What is the difference? Hormones. Hormones tell your body to burn fat or to store fat. Hormones tell your body how to metabolize things inside your body. Hormones are the control mechanism of your body. If you are eating food that is not right for humans, which most of the food in the store is not, your hormones will never be in balance and you will be sick and you will be overweight. In fact, you know what the obesity rate in the United States is? Not overweight, obesity, 45%. Roughly half of all adults, 20 and over, are obese. Not fat, not overweight, obese. What's more criminal are children. Our children have a 20% obesity rate. Children. 1 in 5 children are considered clinically obese. What is the future of a country where half of young people don't even want children? A big segment of young people don't know what gender they are. And 45% or more of people are obese. What's the future of that country look like? Do you consider it bright and shiny or doom and gloom? I'm sorry if this makes you uncomfortable. I'm sorry if this upsets you. And I'm sorry if you're a fat ass and now you feel personally singled out. I'll tell you what, fat ass, I used to be you. All you got to do is go back about 5 years and watch a video of me and look at me. I used to be you. I was a fat ass too, and this was the way out of it. Stop eating their food, cut your carbohydrates down, and if you're going to eat a carbohydrate, cook it from scratch. That's it. There's no plan B. There's no special pill. There's no nothing. These GLP-1s like Ozempic, they're literally paralyzing people's intestines and digestive tracts and fucking up their pancreas. My sister-in-law's pancreas is still fucked up because she got on that freaking Ozempic shit. And she's been off it for 6 months, and she still has pancreatic issues and food digestion issues, and she's just now starting to come out of it. And you know, the only way she was able to survive that 6 months? Almost full carnivore, definitely keto. And she finally found a doctor that was all in on it with her. They want you sick. They want you sick. Now, I'm not a purist like Ken Berry. You know this. I grew up at a time like, common food in our household when I was a kid, like with my grandmother and all being Ukrainian, pierogies, halloukis, right? Potatoes and all kinds of shit like that. Homemade bread. None of us were fat. You know, the old men that drank beer every day had a little bit of a beer gut, but nobody was obese. And we ate plenty of carbohydrates. But we didn't eat any high fructose corn syrup. We didn't eat any of the garbage. Nobody used the seed oil. Everything that was cooked in like leftover bacon grease or lard if it was fried. When my grandmother made bread for like fat, she would use butter, not freaking soy oil. My grandmother would have slapped the shit out of you if you would have bought a bottle in her house and she said, what is it? She said, soybean oil. She would have just, that old Ukrainian lady, she was about 4'10", she would have smacked you so hard your head would have spun around three times. Your ear would have come out. If she slapped you in the right ear, brain would have come out of your left ear. They do not want you healthy. They do not want you educated. They don't want you communicating with each other. And they don't even want you helping each other. That's what we started out about this shit in North Carolina. Imagine a government that prevents one private citizen from helping another private citizen when the government itself is failing to do the job at that moment. Any decent government, no matter how bad they were, if they were in any way decent, would be like, this is wonderful. They would be championing this. They would be holding it up. They'd be encouraging more people to help. They do not want you healthy. They do not want you communicating. They do not want you to have freedom of speech. They do not. You know who hates freedom of speech? Liars. Liars hate freedom of speech. It's terrifying. The people that are most looking for censorship are liars. People that speak the truth don't need censorship. They're willing to have a debate in the open. Everything that the government recommends right now, as far as what to eat and how to live, makes us sicker, fatter, weaker, and poorer in every way measurable. Don't buy Bitcoin. That makes you poor. Eat a diet based on bread and grain and cereals. That makes you fatter and sicker. You know, they even don't want you to work out now. They tell you to be physically active, but like going to the gym is white supremacy or some shit. So that makes you weaker. When we had a pandemic and you said, well, what can we do to improve our innate immunity? They said you were a quack. Did immunity, an immune, seeing your immune system for a disease? That's crazy. What else do you need to see? Those of you that are holdouts still, that think there's anything inside our government that's in any way for you or in your best interest, what do you need that you haven't already seen? What do you have to hear that you haven't already heard? What do you have to experience that you haven't already experienced? How many of you still believe that we did the best we could with COVID? That it was just, you know, even the mistakes they made, everybody meant well, it wasn't intentional. If you believe that, I don't know how you're still here. After all these years of listening to me, I don't know how you can even tolerate listening to me if you believe that. On top of it, the left, have you noticed this lately? They literally hate anybody that does manual labor unless they're an illegal alien. I just watched, I think J.D. Vance was being interviewed by some mainstream journalist. And her brain looked like she was shitting glass and razor blades when he was talking. Like, it wouldn't connect. She's like, but who? We need houses built. We need houses built. Well, if we deport 20 million people, who primarily, you know, are the people that work in the construction industry, who will build all the houses? Well, let's try this first of all. This is not what JD said, but what I would have said is, you know, if we deported 20 million people who are here illegally, by the way, and not supposed to be here, we need a lot less, like 10 million less housing units. So that would help just right there. But he started explaining that blue collar guys and some women, but mostly men, would love jobs in the construction industry. And she's like, construction? Do you think they want to do construction? What? What? You know what this argument is? This argument is, but if we end slavery, who's going to pick the cotton? It's the same argument. It's just like, but if Putin takes Ukraine, he's going to roll over all of Europe. That's the same bullshit they told you, right? The domino theory that led to the Vietnam conflict. And 58,000 American men gone, and then Vietnam still ended up all communist, and did the dominoes fall? No! Apparently, you can let people self-determine how they live. But it's the same argument. If we deport these people, who's going to pick the lettuce, and who is going to build houses? And who's going to cut your grass? Who's going to pick the cotton? The Democrat Party is the most racist group of people in this country. And the stalwart demographic in the Democratic Party has become rich and affluent white women in the suburbs. The exact opposite of what it used to be. Rich white women, if you took rich white women out of the voting pool, you'd have a country that was 90% run by Republicans right now. Or you'd have a Democrat party that at least made a little bit of sense. These people, this is something I don't understand why people don't get this. When you're like, but if we don't make a special path for people that are black, or make a special path for people that are Mexican, or make a special path that people are transgendered, right? If we don't make a special path for them, they can't succeed. That's racist. That's misogynistic. We need a special path for women or they can't succeed. That's misogynistic. And you know, there are jobs that, like, if you're physically not capable, you probably shouldn't do them. Like being a Secret Service fucking agent. Right? I'm sorry, if you are a 5'4" obese female in your like late 40s to early 50s that couldn't do one pull-up if your life depended on it, Secret Service Pat, you shouldn't be a Secret Service agent. There shouldn't be a DEI program for that. Okay? And you know who shouldn't be a Secret Service agent? Me. I'm 52 years old. I have had multiple injuries and I'm blind in one eye. Now, maybe I could have compensated for the blind in one eye. And when I was 30 years old, had I gone that direction, maybe I would have made a good Secret Service agent. Right now, I'd be riding a desk if there was any decency in the organization if I had done that. There's a place and time in our lives where certain things we can physically do, and a point where we really are not going to be that great at it anymore. Because being just a little too slow gets you or the person you're protecting killed. Firefighters. Yeah, we need all these women firefighters. If you can't carry somebody down the stairwell, you don't need to be a fucking firefighter. Right? If you can't physically restrain somebody, you don't need to be a cop. We need more women in law enforcement. I can't tell you how many cops have told me the most dangerous thing there is a female cop dealing with a large male by herself. She's likely to kill him. You can be mad at me. That's not my opinion. That's the opinion of law enforcement officers. Because there's certain things that certain people shouldn't do. Now, I've known women that will beat your ass. They can be a cop. They can be a goddamn SEAL member if they want to, if they can pass everything as far as I'm concerned. But they're not, and they're not even the normal among men. So you're talking about some of these professions, like you're looking at like the top 5%, maybe 5 to 10% physical capable males qualify to do that job if you actually enforce the standards. So what percentage of women are going to qualify to do a job that only 10% of men qualify to do from a physical demand standpoint? One? And then of that one that could do it, how many want to? I mean, we really are falling apart at the wheels, guys. Straight men have also been marginalized as toxically masculine. And I'm going to tell you that's now even becoming true about like what I would call normal gay dudes, right? There are gay dudes that you're like, from 100 yards away, that dude's gay. I'm not putting you down. It's just true. Like, you can just, that guy's gay. You know who I'm talking about. Light and the loafers types, right? And there are gay dudes that if that dude didn't tell you he was gay, you would never know he's gay. And I got no problem with either one of them. But I'm telling you, that second kind, the guy that works a blue-collar job, maybe rides the motorcycle and he's gay, he's now getting lumped in with cis males. Because if he won't grovel, right, as a minority status, if he won't use his victim status, then he's against the victims. This is a very dangerous society we're in. And when we start labeling normal male behavior toxic masculinity, and you take everything else we talked about today, what future does a country have that takes its best and its strongest men who will stand up for others, men that know how to use a fucking chainsaw, fix a carburetor for real, not eat them for breakfast, whatever the hell that fat dude meant. That dude eats more than carburetors for breakfast, by the way. Okay? You take the men that show up when things fall off the wheels. You take the type of men who are right now in Florida and Georgia and North Carolina and Tennessee on their own time, on their own dime, helping their fellow man, and you marginalize them as being toxically masculine. And you look at our society and our children and say, the problem with our children is toxic masculinity, where most children today, the majority of children, are raised in a single-parent home, primarily by a female. They go to school where 75 to 80% of the teachers are female. And by the time they're 20, they've been literally raised by women without a strong male influence their whole life. And then you say toxic masculinity is the problem. Guys, there's no future for a nation with that history that doesn't make a collective decision to change it. If we are going to fix our problems, we're not going to do it in November. We're not going to do it in November. We're not going to do it this November. We're not going to do it November 4 years from now. We're not going to do it November 8 years from now. And we're not going to do it November 12 years from now. You get the point. By the way, in 12 more years, I'll be 66. That's kind of scary when I think about it. Wow. But we're not. We're going to have to fix it. We need to triple down on the backyard homesteads. That is the number one step we can take to fix this country, is for as many people as possible to do a little bit becoming self-sufficient on their own property. Because it changes everything. Once you produce anything for yourself to eat, you produce any income for yourself off your property, it does a mental shift, a massive mental shift. It is becoming feral in the best way possible versus being domesticated. And that's what I want to end with today. I want you to realize that that is the goal. If you sit back and you're blown away by all this and you're like, you know what? Jack's right. They are doing all this. And you understand that it does give them control, but they don't need it to have control. And you're flummoxed. Like, no matter how much of a psychopath you are, why would you go this all in on this nonsense? The transgenderism, the, you know, giving hormones in surgery to teenagers who can't get a tattoo yet but can have their dick cut off. Why would you go that far? Why would you completely turn any normal man into the enemy? It's domestication. It's domestication. How do you domesticate an animal? Let's say you have a ranch in South Texas where there's lots of feral pigs, and you have no pigs, and you want to get your pigs from the feral pig population. What do? Well, you set up traps. And you trap as many pigs as you can. And you kill all the adult pigs. And you kill any pig that's bigger than about the size of a small watermelon. You shoot them and make sausage out of them. You only take the little piggy. The piggy that was still nursing on mommy. And the little piggy might be mean and angry, but when you feed him, he's going to get attached to you real quick. You feed him with a bottle. You feed him grain by hand. And when he has babies, he and she have babies, you take the babies as soon as possible, as early as possible, you take them away from the sows and the boars. And you raise them a second generation. And this generation has never known freedom. They have never been feral. They are completely controlled, and they are 100% dependent on you. And in two or three cycles of that, now you can let your female pigs, your sows, take care of the babies. They'll let you walk right in with them. Sometimes you get one that wants to bite your ass like a dog does with her pups. But overall, they don't fear you, so the babies don't fear you. You feed them. Maybe you don't mess around when they're still suckling. But in the end, you can now manage your pigs. You can even free range them and teach them to go out and collect mast and come back in. And they'll come back and you'll kill them. And when you kill them, the ones you don't kill will be like, what happened to Frank? I don't know. Let's go get something to eat. That's how you domesticate a pig. Or a cow, or a chicken, or any other wild animal. You separate it from its mother. You separate it from its natural influences. You make it dependent upon you. And once you make it dependent upon you, you just keep that cycle going. And every generation, you will end up with more and more domestication in that line. And what do? When you're doing that, and you have this little pig that's born, or you have this rooster that's born, and you know, despite how much you've done to domesticate it, that rooster's like 6 months or 6 weeks old. He's barely able to function. but he runs up and spurs you in the leg even though he has no spurs. What do you do to him? Put a tag on that bitch, right? And as soon as he's big enough, into the pot. You start calling. You start calling. Now, the problem in modern society is you can't just go, like, go out and get all of the cisgendered men and kill them. You need breeding stock. You don't want to completely depopulate everything. And you know, people get kind of upset if you start culling humans, right? So what do you start doing? You start culling them with intellectual components. You start culling them with policy. You make it uncomfortable for them to be a normal man. So that even if they continue to be a normal man, they stop displaying themselves as a normal man. They kind of get quiet and they go into beta or sigma mode and they just kind of stay out of the limelight and they don't bother anybody and they think you're crazy, but they keep their mouth shut or they roll over and become like you. You offer them positions of power, but only if they do and say the things that you want. You use the carrot instead of the stick. That's what's going on. That's your society today. All right, I got a bunch of stuff started. I'm going to go through it really quick here. Legacy Farm and Homestead, $2 super chat. Thanks, man. Says the Hurricanes were an inside job. Okay, I'm not going to – I already did that last week. Okay. Tyler says, what are your thoughts on solar generators, and if you utilize them, do you have a recommendation? You must be new here. Okay, so I, along with our engineer on our expert council – despise the term solar generator. There is no such thing as a solar generator. A generator is something you fill up like gas or diesel, or you attach a natural gas to it and you pull a string or you turn a switch and it goes boom and power comes out on demand at a known rate. That is a generator. Solar generators are not generators. They're a battery with a solar panel, an inverter, and a charge controller. And I think that you can build a much better one for yourself using something as simple as deep cycle batteries from Walmart than you will ever buy. So I do not recommend them at all. Sean Mills recommended them for things like short-term running of things like refrigerators and stuff like that in an interim period, that they're actually okay for that if you do the math. But I don't recommend them, period, because I believe that not only can you build more battery reserve and more power generation capability, and it's not that hard to do if you do it for yourself, but if you do it for yourself and you learn it and it's not that hard to do, you'll be able to fix it if something goes wrong. If your charge controller goes to shit, you'll just put a new charge controller in it. If you build it with two inverters and one of your inverters goes to shit, you have a second one. Two is one and one is none. For the cost of a solar generator, you can build what a solar generator really is. A solar-powered battery backup system that's 4 to 5 times better for the same money. So I do not recommend it because it doesn't make any economic fucking sense. Okay? Hunter says, if FEMA money was used for immigration, does that mean that it is actually an emergency? Actually, that is the justification, Hunter. That is the exact justification for how FEMA money was channeled into providing for illegal migrants. Yes. DeFreak says, are you familiar with Bear Independent, Grindstone Ministries, Refuge Medical, Caleb House, etc.? Excellent groups working on a disaster. Yes, and some of, not all of my intelligence comes from that group of people. Yes. And I definitely recommend if you want to donate money, the biggest organization I could recommend with a good conscience would be like Samaritan's Purse. But Bear Independence Group, Grindstone Ministries, that's exact. In fact, we wrote a pretty nice check to them last week. Jake says, Jake, do I read this? I should have a like vote. Should I read Jake's question? I'll do it. Jake says, have you heard of nuclear waste buried and unburied? People in a small town all getting radiation sickness. My wife saw it somewhere. So let me tell you how I feel about this, Jake, and it's not because it's you. My wife saw it somewhere. I read that. I read somewhere that. I have zero credibility to that. None. I read it somewhere. I heard it somewhere. Means nothing to me. I have absolutely no confirmation of that whatsoever. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm telling you that I'm in contact with dozens of people on the ground and coordinating with people on the ground, and I haven't heard anything about it. And usually when somebody heard it somewhere, it's not true. Okay? Not always, but sometimes. Legacy Farm and Homestead with another $5 super chat. Thanks, man. I am in East Tennessee, 80 miles from an affected area. It's amazing to see anyone can come together to help. Neighbors are helping way more than government, and it always will be that way. It will always be that way. In fact, even when the government does its job, it just takes the money it stole and pays for the job to be done. It's always people. It's always people who care about other people that really do something in these situations. Darren says, what do you know about China's ships surrounding Taiwan right now? Just an annual exercise or a unique show of power or nefarious? All of those. It is an exercise. It is not routine in that usually this exercise doesn't completely circle around Taiwan. I want you to think about this in a totally different light. If you're China and you have military designs on Taiwan, what better time is there than right now to act? The United States has spread itself out in the Middle East. It's now directly engaging in a foreign conflict in the Middle East. It is spent a huge part of its defense budget and given a huge part of its weaponry to Ukraine, who has blown it. And you have a president who literally has dementia. I'm sorry. And you have a vice president who is dumber than a fence post. When is it going to get better if you're China? I don't think China wants to be perceived as the aggressor in this, though. I think what China has been trying very hard to do for a long time, but especially during the Biden administration, is provoke something. To get close enough with jets crossing jets, to do something that makes somebody in Taiwan freak out, take a shot. Then they can claim, hey, 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 we're defending ourselves. I think that's the play. And I think that that operation is designed to do just that. Can we make the Taiwanese nervous enough that somebody somewhere lets off a rocket or something like that? Hopefully it won't work. Legacy Farm and Homestead. Dude, you don't have to super chat me every time you ask me a question. But thank you for another $5. My wife's boyfriend and I will both be voting for Harris. Okay. Good joke. You definitely didn't have to super chat me for that one. But if you do super chat me, you guarantee that you'll get starred because the system does it. Man, Legacy, bro has not to throw me like $20 today. We'll get to it, though. Yates Production says, I think it's biblically sound to say these are the end times, my friend. I don't. I think when people say that they demonstrate a complete ignorance of Scripture. The entirety of what that's usually based on, wars and rumors of wars, etc., was Jesus telling his followers, you will never know when the end comes, and you should treat every day like the end is now. When are there wars and rumors of wars? Always. Go read the whole thing. And I will just tell you that there have been so many times that different groups and sects and segments of society have been convinced the end was here. And they've always been disappointed. Whether they just kind of went and went back to work in their normal lives, or whether they, you know, like all drank cyanide or something like that, whatever the heavens gave people did. Like this has been said over and over throughout history. People have, you know, predicted it, and I studied it. No. Even if I believed 100% in Christian doctrine, I would give you the same answer. You are not, if everything the Bible says is true, what the Bible says is you're not meant to know. And that when I say you're supposed to live every day as though it's the last, it's the end of times for you, because it might be, because it's somebody's last day every day. That was the whole point of that scripture. While I am not a practicing member of any faith, I used to be. And I deeply studied that side of things. I found it very interesting. Chartreuse says, what's your view of the USA's responsibility to preserve Ukrainian territory as per the Budapest Memorandum? Zero. None. I don't have anything else for you. None. Legacy says, liberals view illegals as serf underclass. Yes, I think it's more so. I think they really do view them like Democrats in 1860 viewed the slaves. They have to do this job because nobody else wants to do it, and there's no economic way to make it viable for somebody else to do it. It is that bad. And Legacy also says, in the next 10 years, we'll see a new war on homeschooling. I guarantee it. Oh, you will. Oh, you will. Because There is nothing they hate more than homeschooling. Anyway, I need to go ahead and wrap up. If there are any more questions, I'm going to just, I got one more I'll take here. Hardway, Alaska. Jack, people aren't seeing the moon. I haven't seen it in a week. Are you seeing it? I'm not answering that. I just, so it's cloudy where you are or whatever, man. I'm not doing this. Okay, I'm not getting dragged off the cliff into the conspiracy shit. Harp's hiding the moon from people now, or something. I'm done. I am. In fact, I wish I had seen that question before I saw the word question, because I would have just not brought it up. I'm just not doing this, guys. The moon is exactly where it's always been. I'm sorry if you have cloudy skies. I don't even know. We got a bunch of people saying they see the moon. All right. I see the moon only one. It's a partial. Okay. I don't see the moon right now because it's friggin' daytime, right? Even though you can sometimes see the moon in daytime. We have complete visibility of the moon. The skies are very clear in Texas right now. We could use some clouds and some rain. Anyway, with that wrapped up, I want to remind you guys real quick here at the end, you can always support this show in a couple of ways. One is by doing your online shopping starting at tspaz.com. That's T-S-P-A-Z, tspaz.com. You guys know my favorite discount electronics brand is a company called Anker, A-N-K-E-R. It used to be only online. I saw a whole bunch of Anker shit at Costco recently, and I think it's because they really are the best value brand electronics that are out there today. I would say them, and in some other type of electronics situation, it's E-Tech City. Both of them have been very impressed with not just the quality of the product, but the quality of the service and standing behind the product. They have a little Bluetooth speaker. These things sell for about $50, but when they're on sale, like right now today, they're like $30. They also pair, so you can have true stereo sound, two of them for $60 at today's price. They're also waterproof, and I mean waterproof, like you can chunk it in the pool and it'll keep working. My wife drove a car over one. I don't recommend it, but it kept working. That one did eventually die. I don't know what exactly caused it, but I wasn't going to try to warranty that one because she drove the car like right over it. I found the screen on it kind of dented in, and I'm like, how'd that happen? She's like, oh, I don't know. And then finally she confessed that she actually drove the Toyota truck over it. And it kept working. So they are very durable for what they are. Again, waterproof, and the way they pair is great. The sound quality for, you know, a smaller speaker. This is not shake the wall stumping, but I don't like that anyway. And what I love about them, I have a set that I keep out in my back shop because I have full AV in my main shop, but my back shop I don't, and I don't want to spend the money on it. So I just keep a pair out there plugged in, turn them on when I go in there, and then I've got stereo sound. And if I want, when I'm working in the garden, I take them out to the garden with me, and I've got great music, or I'm listening to podcasts or audiobooks or things like that with them. Anyway, with that, guys, I appreciate you being with me today, and I will catch you tomorrow. We're going to do something more. I don't know what yet, but we're going to do something tomorrow that's more proactive. I'll tell you what we're not going to talk about. Hurricane relief efforts, government, politics, elections, national debt, none of that shit. We'll talk about some level of hard skill or something like that that we can use to make our lives better, because this is the deal. Make your life better, because your government's goal and society's goal is to make it worse. So no one's going to do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. Been Jack Spirico with another edition of the Survival Podcast. Help you figure out how to live that better life if times get tough or they don't. Just run you around. You should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.